So I promised you that we would do something different for the Torah reading today, the story of what Christians call the sacrifice of Isaac, and what Jews call Akedat Yitzchak, which is translated as the binding of Isaac. What's the difference? Why do Christians call it the sacrifice of Isaac, Jews call it the binding of Isaac? Anybody? We don't call it the sacrifice of Isaac because he was not sacrificed. His father did not kill him. Why do Christians call it the sacrifice of Isaac? Because they want to relate the story to the story of the Christian Savior whose father sacrificed him. In other words, who allowed him to be crucified. But for us, we're glad the story didn't turn out that way at all, not with Isaac, although over the centuries, too many Isaacs have been sacrificed and not saved. I want to begin by reading a piece that was written by my teacher and mentor, Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel, describing when he was 7 years old and first really began to hear the story of Akedat Yitzchak and Rosh Hashanah, sitting next to his father. Oh, thank you very much, David. Sitting next to his father. This is what he remembers. By the way, David, if my voice remains scratchy on Yom Kippur, don't bring up a glass of water.
I'll bring you an empty glass.
An empty glass, and I'll imagine what it was like. That could work. That's psychodrama. This is what Abraham Joshua Heschel remembers in his conversation with his father as a little boy. I was a child of seven, listening to the chapter in the Torah which tells of the sacrifice of Isaac. Isaac was on the way to Har Moriah, to Mount Moriah, with his father. And then he was placed on the altar, bound, and waited to be sacrificed. As I heard the story, I identified with Isaac. My heart began to beat faster and faster. It actually sobbed with pity for little Isaac. Look, listen. His father Abraham now lifted the knife. My heart froze within me with fright. Suddenly, the voice of an angel was heard. Avraham, Avraham, Abraham, Abraham, do not lay your hand upon the boy, for now I know that you fear God. But I broke out crying. My eyes were filled with tears, and I wept aloud. My father turned to me and said, Avraham, why are you crying? You know that Isaac wasn't killed. And I said to my father, still weeping, but Papa, what if the angel came a second too late? And my father comforted me. He calmed me down by saying that angels cannot come late. An angel cannot come late. But people made of flesh and blood, they can come late. Abraham Joshua Heschel lost his father and his entire family in the Holocaust. Those who could have saved them came too late. So, here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to demonstrate if a little boy like Avraham Joshua Heschel could imagine himself in the story. I want to ask if there are some people here that would have that same imagination to put themselves in the characters in the story. If somebody can bring up four chairs from the back, any chairs, I don't care what the label is, the row number on it, just four chairs from the back onto the bima. I'm going to ask for volunteers, for four people to take four roles. I would like someone to try to imagine how they would be feeling if they were Abraham. If you were Avraham Avinu, if you were the patriarch Abraham, would you take one of these seats and allow through a gestalt type of questions to ask you what's going on in your mind when you get this commandment? I'd like someone to imagine taking the role of Isaac, of Yitzchak, and picture yourself there, going with your father, hand in hand, to bring a sacrifice, and there is no lamb. I'd like to ask someone to imagine themselves as Sarah, who has prayed her whole life to have a child, and finally bore a son. And she gets up in the morning and is told that Abraham took that son and is going to sacrifice him at the commandment of God. And if it's not too chutzpahdik, I'd like to ask someone to sit in the chair, if we prefer to call it the throne, of God, and ask, what were you thinking in bringing this moment to happen, to make such a test? So, I need four people. Jerry, which role would you, which chair are you going to sit in? The chair of Yitzchak, of Isaac. That's this chair right here. Let's start with God. What was the purpose of this test? What was it all about? What were you doing?
Oh, I thought there was a script.
You remember some improv?
Yeah. I was testing my creation here, Abraham, seeing how devoted he was to myself.
To see what?
How devoted he was to myself.
Why was it important to you to find out if Abraham was devoted to you? You're God, why did you care?
Because I wanted to have a chosen people.
Wanted to have what?
A chosen people.
Wanted to have a chosen people?
Yes. I selected Abraham first.
Uh-huh. Why do you need one people chosen above all others? After all, you're God. You created everybody.
I wanted a nice following.
Uh-huh. All right. All right. Abraham. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. No, Bobby. Abraham, you knew that your wife Sarah had been praying all of her mature life to be able to have a son. She wanted to make you proud. That's what she thought would be the greatest gift to you and fulfillment for her life. When you got this commandment from God to sacrifice your son, were you troubled by it? Because we don't see anything in the text that tells us that she even questioned it. How did you feel when you got that commandment?
I felt like it would be an interesting chance to see what God's intentions were all about.
So that means that you were also testing God.
Correct.
Aha! God was testing you to see if you would follow this commandment. You were testing God to see if God was going to go through with it. Mm-hmm. What would you have done if God went through with it? Would you have gone through with it?
I don't think I would. I think there's a certain level where the end of the day, I would not have gone through it. But I also had faith that God would not ask me to go through it.
I have a question to ask you that's been troubling me for a long time. Abraham, when God told you that he was going to destroy the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, you argued with God, you bargained with God, you negotiated. Why, when he asked you to take the life of your son, did you not try to make a deal, like offering something else?
Because I felt like specifically this is a test of me, and that I've got to go. This isn't the time that God wants negotiation. He's testing me to see, will I do even the most dramatic things that he may ask of me?
Isaac, you are not privy to all of this intellectualization of this grown man who's your father, and God who is above it all. When your father woke you early in the morning and told you you had to go on some sacred mission, did you have any idea what he was going to do?
No, I didn't. All I know is I was raised to know that when my father asked me to do something, I would do it. He was my God. He was the man who had born me and done everything for me. He asked me to do this. Yes, I would have done it.
But that's the assumption that you were making, that you were going to go up to this mountain and, following your father, you're going to help him with the sacrifice of some animal. When you saw there was no animal, you questioned him. Were you doubting him, or were you just asking a simple question like, you know, that where are we going to find the lamb?
Well, at first, it was just a simple question, where are we going to find the lamb? But as things progressed, and as I was being tied up, I realized that this was no joke. This was serious business, and I felt that perhaps my faith in him was too much. Wood piled around me, and the future looked pretty bleak at that time. But he had awakened me, and it was literally, he woke me that day, but he had awakened me many times, and this was the ultimate awakening. I said, you know, what's going on here?
Sarah, you must have been wondering what's going on here. Here you have reached not maturity, but senior citizenship. And you have this cherished boy that finally matures. How did you feel about him before this happened? What was your relationship with the little Taco, the little Isaac?
Of course, a mother's love for her son is, you know, is extreme, and I love my son more than anything. And it was obviously a gift from God to have this child.
So you thought of him as a gift from God. What was your reaction when you got up and found that he and your husband were gone, and the servants told you where they were going and what they were intending to do?
Panicked. shock and you know, don't know what to expect.
So you were about to lose your son. You were about to lose your son. But Sarah, you almost made another mother lose her son. In the portion we read yesterday, we were told that you said to Abraham, after Isaac was born, get that woman Hagar out of the house. The son Ishmael that she bore to you, I don't want her anymore. Send him out. And out meant the wilderness. And if it wasn't for God's intervention, that boy would have died. Did you not sense that passion of motherhood that Hagar had?
At the time, I was thinking of myself and my relationship with my husband, and I was jealous and angry at my husband.
What would you have done if Abraham came back alone? What would your relationship to him have been? And no angel would have stopped your hand. But. Well, the Torah tells us that Isaac, he did come back with Abraham, but something very interesting. The Torah tells us that in effect, you never spoke to your father again. You never spoke to your father again. What changed in your relationship with this man whom until then you thought of as God? This is heavy. I never spoke with my father again because he had been willing, for the sake of his own testing himself, he would have been willing to sacrifice me. He was testing. He and God had this relationship, and I was just a tool. If it had worked out that God hadn't sent anybody, he would have said that he was obedient. He did his obedience. My obedience was sacrificed for his.
Now, one last question for God. God, in the Muslim tradition, in the Quran, they tell the same story, but with Ishmael on the altar instead of Isaac. And when they say that in their story that Abraham has the knife raised above his head to slay Ishmael sees that Abraham is hesitating. And he says to his father, "Father, do not hesitate. You have been commanded by God, do the deed." In the Quran, Abraham's hand is saved. But I'd like to ask you, which of the two sons do you think acted best? Are you proud of Ishmael, who wanted his father to fulfill the commandment and slay him? Or of Isaac, that when he saw his father, what his father was willing to do, never spoke to his father again? Which of the two is a better human being than your daughters?
I believe they're both decent people. We don't have to discriminate. we can love them all, and I think that this just shows individualism, and we can learn from both of them. We understand that Isaac had some troubling issues with his fathers and became estranged, and we can understand that and learn from his feelings that he didn't trust his father. His father didn't make him privy to the situation at hand. And Ishmael was just forthcoming and resourceful to the situation and was willing to sacrifice himself as well.
All right. How about a
will? Well, I want to thank all four people who have played these roles and given us a deeper understanding of the text of the Torah. Thank you very much. And what this teaches us is that Abraham and Sarah and Isaac were real people facing real issues of how to be faithful to the God they believed in. And that God has characteristics that we have imposed upon God from our human perspective. What is in God's mind is beyond our comprehension. There is no way we have of ever imagining what God is feeling. But we picture God as another person and infuse God with human qualities.
Well, thank you very much, not just the four people who have the courage to come up here, but all of you who supported this effort and this experiment. And I hope that it has made the Torah reading more significant and meaningful to you.